Hello, you are tuning into Awani Review with me, Cynthia Ng. Joining me on the show today is Hui Yik Seong. He is the founder of Direct Lending, a digital lending platform aimed at providing safe and affordable financing to people. So joining me today, Yik, thank you so much, first of all, for having me here at your office, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me too.
So let's kick things off by getting to know Direct Lending a bit more, and also yourself. I understand that you started this after a number of years in investment banking. So talk to us about Direct Lending and also what led you to start this platform or leave the comforts of corporate finance to join this.
Yeah, sure. So Direct Lending was started back in 2016. I think when we first started Direct Lending, our mission is very clear. It's really to help to bridge the credit gap for the underserved individuals, to enable them to have access to safe and affordable financing. So the audience, the customer base that we really wanted to help, you know, these are people who are hardworking, just like all of us, but maybe unfortunately due to their occupations or their income, they may not have access to traditional bank loans. So who are these people, right? Number one, they could be earning maybe income that's below what the banks required for, and especially quite a number of them that may be earning a lot of variable incomes that the bank may not recognize. Number two, there's a group of, you know, what we call as a young working adult who are just starting to come to work, and they may not have any credit history. So to them, banks usually will be very hard to approve them a loan. And I think thirdly, I think this is growing that, especially after COVID, what we call as a gig worker, micro entrepreneurs. And again, you know, they are working very hard, but maybe due to, you know, the way that they operate, they may not necessarily have the payslip documents to prove their income. So, you know, all this group of individuals are, you know, typically going through the traditional banks approval process. You know, there will always be the challenging group in getting a financing from them. I think we also realize that in life, you do need to get financing, you know, whether to grow your businesses, to grow yourself, or maybe for emergency. So if you can't get a loan from the bank, you know, what are the options that's available? I think that's why we heard a lot of loan shark, loan scam, mm-hmm. that are readily to take advantage of their vulnerability.
Okay, but what about this segment that seemed exciting for you, or what kind of opportunities did you see when you started the business back in 2016?
Well, I guess maybe because I come from the bank background, so that's where I think we see that these are a group of individuals that, you know, do need financing, but mm-hmm. unfortunately, maybe due to their circumstances, they are not able to get the financing. And that kind of get me very excited, and to see how can I, you know, leveraging on technology and data to address and to also, you know, put our own best foot forward to help them to bridge this credit gap.
Okay, so talk to us a bit more about what Direct Lending is. It's a digital platform, but yep. do you actually disburse loans, or do you work with partners to do so?
Yeah, so I think we're going through this evolution. So when we first started, we started as a marketplace business. So think about us as Shopee or Lazada for loan. Okay. So we're very much, you know, matching the borrowers with lenders. So the lenders that we work with are mostly non-bank lenders. So this including, you know, credit company, a Bursa listed credit company, licensed money lenders, and also corporacy. So what we do is by leveraging our technology, we analyze their credit, and then okay. we match them with financier that, you know, suit their credit profile. So that's what we started 7 years ago. And that remain a business that has been growing quite strongly for us. So today we have disbursed over 300 million worth of financing, you know, over 130,000 people who have checked eligibility through the platform.
Okay.
So about 2 years ago, you know, after COVID or during COVID, we asked ourselves, right, so what can we do better to serve our customers? So our vision, our ultimate dream is to become the go-to platform for these underserved individuals to address their financing needs. And why they want to come to us, because we believe that we can deliver them a very happy, seamless, and a personalized experience. So when we kind of think about that journey or that outcome, so we ask ourselves, so actually why people get a personal loan, right? In reality, is that people get a personal loan, I actually doesn't need the money itself. I always have a service or a product that I'm looking for. What I mean by that, right? You know, if I get a car loan, I'm not looking for the loan, right? I want to buy a car, and car loan is just a mean for me to get there. So when we look at us, you know, when we look at the marketplace, why people get personal loan? Why people get, you know, get a loan from licensed money lenders, corporacy? You know, of course, there are certain things maybe more for their wants, but a lot of time it's also to address their needs, right? Whether it's for medical, you know, whether it's to support their children educations, whether it's my car breakdown, my home, you know, have some issue, I need to get repair that. And so we ask ourselves, instead of they have to come to a marketplace or go at when the needs arise there and go to a financial institution to apply the loan, get the money, and then go back there and solve that problem, what if the financing is available mm-hmm. at the points the needs arise? And isn't that a lot more seamless? Isn't that a lot more personalized? Isn't that a lot more happy in terms of the journey? So with that kind of vision in mind, so we do a lot of analysis. So about 20 months ago, we started this auto service financing, and I can elaborate more. But the premise is very simple, like what I just shared, is to be able to help individual to solve their financing needs at the point when the needs arise.
Okay.
So for this auto service financing, the use case is very simple, is car is necessity, but I don't know when my car will break down. And my background, usually the money, the cost is not that small.
Okay.
I may not have the saving to do that. Go to work, delivering business. So that's where we say that, by working with the workshop, by leveraging on technology, we can, get that financing to be available within half an hour. And then, they can get a car repair and, get on with their life.
So let me stop you right there. You're saying that if my car breaks down, I need some money and I apply to you. Your platform, half an hour later, I can get
So we will give the money to you straight away.
Okay.
We will provide that. We will use the financing to pay for your car repair bill.
Mm-hmm.
And the money will go to the workshop.
Okay.
But that allowed you to solve your problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk a bit more in terms of why the way it's structured in that way. But essentially what we're trying to do is to solve our customer pain point. And at the same time, I think through that financing, we also able to give a lot of value to other stakeholders, including the workshop, which many of them are small businesses, mm-hmm. and they will not be able to do that. So essentially, every financing that I disperse is a revenue for them. So I also, through that financing, we help the car workshop to grow their businesses.
Right.
So it's a win-win situation.
So I understand the nature of business. So you have the marketplace and then you are also
providing financing. Correct.
I want to talk about creditworthiness of your applicants, right? The 130,000 of them. Of course, these are segments which are not, they are excluded from the traditional financing schemes provided by banks, for instance. How do you assess their risk and their creditworthiness?
So I think you have to look at it two separately, but maybe I share more on how we look at it ourselves on the financing that we provide through the auto service financing, because that's something that I guess we've got more control on. Yeah, so I think we really look at it in the more inclusive way. So instead of, just to sort of step back, we ask for two documents. One, of course, is your IC to prove who you are. And second, you look at bank statement. So compared to a lot of conventional, we ask for payslip, EPF or whatnot.
Yep.
We ask for bank statement. Why? Because like just what I just shared, not everyone have a payslip, right? Especially if you're working in the small businesses, sometimes they don't have a payslip, and not everyone contribute EPF, unfortunately. And of course, if you're doing your own businesses, then you will not have a payslip. So by looking at bank statement, what we are able to do, we can look at all the income that's coming in. But not just that, because many of them, because they are not having a bank financing facilities, so if you look at their credit record, the secrets, the CTOS, they may not have anything to look at. So what we look at by looking at the bank statement, we can also see how they get the money in and how they spend the money. So through that, by leveraging on big data, that allowed us to paint a better picture of this individual. So that's really how we look at it, by being more inclusive. And fortunately, after this 20 months in there, we have financed about 7 million worth of car repair bills, over 4,000 plus customers. So our NPR, what we define as anything not paying more than 60 days, is currently less than 3%.
And you're also offering financing to SME businesses.
It's all about thinking, how can we solve people's problem?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just pushing out product and see what stick. So actually when we first started on the auto service financing side, it was really trying to help the car owner, the individual that we are familiar with, trying to solve their pain point. So currently we are working with 1,200 workshops across the country. And I say many of them are small workshops. At least the one that I went through tends to be one premise by themselves, either run by a family or a few people, right? So many of them, they are also small businesses. Of course, every business also need financing, right? Whether to go for expansion, buying stocks, so on and so forth. So they ask us, like, if you are giving financing to my customer, why not also me as a businesses, right? Okay. So that's how we kind of start to think about like, how can I help them? So that's how we kind of venture into the SME side. And we think it's quite important because I think then it also give us more value into the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So by working in a car workshop, you know, I can not just help you to grow your sales, but I can also give you financing. And of course, hopefully with that, then you can also grow your business further.
What's the next natural progression for a company like Direct Lending then? What other areas will you expand?
Yeah, so it's a very good question. I think on the car repair segment, if any, I think we are just scratching the surface. It's a huge market. You know, there's 30,000-40,000 car workshop in Malaysia. You know, I think there's some statistics saying that there's more car in Malaysia than people. But of course, if you scrap out all the unused car and whatnot, our own assessment, our addressable market is about 1 million people or 1 million car, and so we are still got a long way for that. Mm-hmm. We definitely will focus a lot more. Improving the product, you know, deepening the market there. And away from that, back to our vision is to really help, is to become the go-to platform for our customer to, you know, to address their financing needs. Mm-hmm. So what we also think about is that, okay, so car repair is one of those. What other financing needs that individual have? Right, we can think about for medical, we can think about education, we can think about growing businesses, you know, maybe your home repair kind of stuff. So I think these are the things that we are also exploring, because I believe that the technology that we have built is quite replaceable, I guess, in that sense, right? Because so I think that's how we think about it. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's really exciting. I also want to talk a bit about the situation in Malaysia. Of course, the past couple of years has been tough post-pandemic.
Yep.
Financial pressure has driven many Malaysians resorting to unlicensed money lenders, loan sharks, and some also get themselves into scams.
Yep. Yep.
Can you provide us insight into the gravity of this situation? And I'm sure you have some cases, you know, victims that came to Direct Lending asking for help. Can you walk us through some of that?
Yeah, sure. I think, first of all, maybe to share certain statistics. So I think there's a report, there's a statistic by PDRM, the police, that I think for 2023, in terms of online loan scam, the losses is about 36 million. And I think in terms of, I think the number of so-called catches and whatnot, I think it's close to 1,000 people. I think in reality, maybe it's even more. But I think, first of all, I think our regulatory definitely are doing what is necessary to prevent that. You know, I think I was just sharing before we started the show. So we are also quite active on social media because we do a lot of education content, which we believe is very important because creating awareness is crucial. And basically, it's not something that, you know, it's being taught in school, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to financial literacy. So back to this point, so we do have a lot of customers who always contact us, whether it's on social media or privately, you know, talking about, oh, I got these situations. You know, I think the most common, a few common things that always happen is that, or the trick that the scammer or the unlicensed money lender will do is, number one, they will make you an offer that's too good to be true. And then they will say that, you know, before you can get this financing, I need you to pay X amount of money, whether it's for legal purposes or whether it's for credit purposes and whatnot. But once you paid it, then that's where the money will go, right? And then they will disappear. And of course, the other one will be things are not being disclosed properly, right?
Okay.
They will just tell you it's this amount, but in reality, there's a lot more there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these are things that is happen quite frequently, unfortunately. And I think that's the reason, I think that what gets us as a team very excited to do our part in also addressing this. And I think one of the reasons why this thing happened is because of the financial stress, I guess, that may happen to a certain group of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, with the cost of living increasing and their paycheck may be sufficient to cover the day-to-day expenses. So as and when there is certain emergency happen, right, then that's where they may be struggling with that. Right, there's a Bank Negara statistic to say that there's 75% of working adults who do not have 1,000 saving to fork out during emergency. So right, these are, I think, this where all these scammer or unlicensed money lender trying to take advantage on, and that's where we're trying to, you know, do our part in addressing.
Thank you. Now, I also bring out this data as of 2023. Industry studies found that less than 40% of Malaysians can get a bank loan from a financial institution.
Yep.
Could you elaborate more about whether this is an accessibility issue or eligibility issue? You know, what's driving more people to unlicensed moneylenders and to loans which have high interest rates and just very bad in general for people?
Yeah, I think it gets back down to the three segments that I mentioned just now. So one, of course, is the income eligibility levels.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, every bank have their own different criteria, but it's fair to say that, you know, by having a minimum income threshold as a starting point, so unfortunately, not everyone is able to meet that, right? So that is, you know, as a result of that, a certain group of individuals have been excluded from these formal bank borrowing channels. And second is the people who do not have credit history, so it's unable to assess their credit worthiness. So that's also another big group. And lastly is what I mentioned about people who are not able to prove their income, right? You know, self-employed individual, gig workers. So I think to answer your question, I think it's a combination of both. It's either the accessibility and the other one would be the eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
And the eligibility may be down to, you know, traditionally how financial institutions have looked at credit.
Do you think it's time to move away from the traditional methods?
I think that trend definitely is happening, right? With the development of technology, you know, that's why I think the fintech is going on. I think even this digital bank, you know, the introduction of digital bank is going to that direction,
mm-hmm.
right? Is to broaden it up, right? Mm-hmm. Is to how can we as a community serve the underserved?
Okay. Now, speaking about digital banks, Malaysia, of course, this year we are expecting to see 5 digital banks start operations. One
correct.
Has started, GX Bank,
correct.
By Grab and Singtel. So I wonder then, how do you view more entrants coming into the market? They may or may not be competing in the same category. We actually not much details have been announced yet. But how do you see that shaping up the market space?
I'm very positive about that. So I don't see that as competition in any way. Why did I say so? Number one, like the statistic you just shared, right? Less than 40% is actually have access to the traditional bank financing. So I mean there are 60% more. That so it's a huge market. So with such a huge market, so you do need a different player. Because if you can't analyze it down, you know, you've got small businesses, you've got the gig worker, you've got the self-employed, salary employed. So you can narrow down into many, many more segments and many, many more use case. Of course, we all do not know yet what each of these digital banks will do.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that in general, that will create more awareness among the community that, you know, other than going to the unlicensed moneylender, there are other options available. And also because many of them are going to be very digital focused, I think that can also create awareness that maybe the general assumption that if you're not a bank, then you're alone, and that may also give them different perceptions. But I think overall, it's definitely very healthy for the society, for the community, you know, in providing better solutions to solve this problem.
Even like a platform like Direct Lending, sometimes people are not really aware what you guys do. Yes. Are you guys loan shark?
Yes.
And what type of misconception do people have about digital lending platforms like Direct Lending?
Yeah, I think definitely one is what I just mentioned just now, you know, are you another loan shark? Are you another alone or whatnot? So we're trying to address that by providing a lot of educations.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, by more importantly, delivering what we promise, right? If we say that this is what we offer you, and then we make sure we do that. And I think that gained us a lot of word of mouth, that helped to build a lot of trust among our community. Because nowadays, the good news can spread quite quickly, and bad news can spread quite quickly, right? So I think that definitely helped us as we deliver that user experience to them. And I guess the second one is, we talk about all this loan scam, and that a lot of time happen online,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of time through social media, right? That's how the channel do. So that can also create challenge to us because that's how we also operate.
Have So anyone impersonated direct landing?
It's like, yeah, it happened a lot. A lot of people will just steal our logo, steal our brand, and say we are from direct landing.
And these are the unlicensed money lenders.
Exactly.
Is you have licensed money lenders, you have cooperators on your platform. What kind of value do you bring to them?
Yeah, so what we actually offer to them is, I think in a nutshell, is we give them a very efficient distribution channel solution. So what I mean by that, so of course, many of these lenders, yeah, so I think first of all, to give some context, so we mostly work with lenders that may not have a very strong presence nationwide.
Okay.
Because then their challenge is also that, you know, how do I attract customer, their target audience to their, you know, to their place, right? So what we're trying to do is, you know, through a digital lending platform, by, you know, able to access nationwide, so we're able to source that customer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can say that, you know, they can also do their own social media marketing,
yeah,
and whatnot. But once you do marketing, you never know the end result, right? You may end up spending all money, you may not end up get the customer that you want, and which then become a burn for them. So for us, what we do is that we charge based on success basis. So we give them a very high certainty, right? When I give you application cases, you only pay us if it's successful.
Okay.
So it gives them a very certainty in terms of operating their business. And more importantly, we give them also efficiency, because after this many years of running the business, our approval rate can be as high as 90%, meaning that if I give you 10 cases that we believe you can approve based on your criteria, at the end, up to 9 cases can be approved. So that means also reduce in terms of their operating costs, which will of course then will give them a higher return on their operating business.
So earlier when you talk about your expansion plans, you mentioned going into different verticals, different targets or use cases,
yep,
right? What about expanding your marketplace as well? Is that something in the works too?
Yeah, that's definitely, we have been, you know, on average growing that about, you know, close to double the business on a year-to-year basis, and we still see a lot of opportunity there.
Okay. Is it still within Malaysia? Would you plan to expand out of the country?
Yeah, I think that is an interesting question. There's also sometimes a lot of challenge to fintech company because of regulatory regime. It's not as easy to scale, I guess, compared to a lot of consumer product, you know, exporting that out in that sense, right? Because you need to look at the regulatory side and whatnot. But definitely we do have a vision of growing overseas. Based on how we see things right now, we believe that it may be easier to expand that overseas based on the needs-based financing that we have in mind. Because I think one of the reasons why we also started off with this car repair segment, because if you think about, there's a lot of car here in Malaysia,
mm-hmm,
there's probably even more car in other parts within Southeast Asia region. And I think the dynamic is similar in terms of the underserved segment, in terms of, you know, the age of the car, in terms of the car workshop segment. So that is also one of the factors to consider, you know, as we think about what are the product to launch.
With all these new entrants coming into the market and existing banks or lenders, they are also upping their game.
Yep.
You must think about, you know, your position, you know, how do you strengthen your,
yep,
USP?
Yep.
What goes through your mind? What's looking exciting, and what do you think are the biggest challenges for direct lending in the coming 12 months?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think for us, we believe that to survive and to thrive, you must be the best in solving the problem.
Okay.
I think that is what really keeps us, you know, day in, day out, what we are working on. Thinking about how can I solve my stakeholders' needs, right? My customer needs, my partner needs. So we want to make sure that we are able to deliver that. And second, I think to also build, I guess, you know, the moat. That's why we also believe in ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about like the SME businesses or, you know, the needs-based financing that we do. We're looking at, you know, ecosystem by ecosystem, because that will allow us to deepen on our knowledge, deepen on our product. So instead of, you know, I just open up the another so-called financing to do all the SME. So we only focus on certain segment,
mm-hmm,
that we believe that we have enough knowledge and we have enough network around that. So hopefully be one of the best among that specific segment. So I think with that, then we're able to collaborate with different, you call it competitors or partners, right? You know, whether it's a digital bank or others, you know, bigger lenders, you know, maybe because of we already have certain presence out there, maybe there's a way that we can collaborate right. together that at the end, we can deliver the best solutions to that specific segment audience.
Okay. Well, just one final question before I let you go. What are you particularly excited about in terms of digital lending market? What sort of new things do you think we can anticipate within the industry in the coming months or even years?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot to get me very excited and come to work every day. Because I said, I think it's a huge market, right? There's a lot of things that we can do to make this society a better place. But if I have to pinch something down more specifically, for maybe in a more shorter term, I think that AI technology is definitely something that is very interesting, right? Because ultimately, you know, when we try to talk about this underserved segment, and one of the reasons I think why maybe the traditional lenders have not been focusing on because there tends to be smaller ticket size, right? Like for example, when we do our auto service financing, the ticket size is 1,000 plus 2,000. So it doesn't work from an economic standpoint, you know, in the traditional way, right? Because the cost is just too high. So it has to be, you know, able to manage the risk in a very cost-effective way. And that means you cannot have too many human getting involved. And, you know, then how do you do that? Of course, it's by leveraging on technology. And if you have, you know, the right technology, the right AI stuff in there, and I think the AI, I think, have a quantum leap in the last, you know, 6 months or so. So I think that is something that we also spend our effort in, you know, how can we leverage on all this upcoming technology, or more refined technology, I call it that way, and we can put into place so that we are able to deliver that in a more cost-effective way, which then hopefully turn then down that, you know, we can also able to deliver that financing in a more affordable way to our customers.
And quicker even.
Exactly. So that's how we think about it, and that is, you know, one thing that we set ourselves to do
all
for
right. That's all very exciting. Well, thank you so much, Yig, for spending some time to talk to me about direct lending, your business, and also your plans. So best of luck to you and your company.
Thank you very much for your time.